Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Your hosts for today are Susan Franzen and Gina McAndrews. Welcome to both of you.
We are both happy to be together again in the Zoom studio, and we'll be joined by a special guest and my former co-host, Paul Wearson. We'll be visiting his hometown of Story City, so I'm hoping he'll be our guide there. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Susan. I'm here remote from my farmhouse.
Well, that's great. It's always fun to have Paul. Welcome back to Local Talk.
Well, thank you, Gina. Welcome back to you, too.
So, Susan, why are we going to Story City?
All of our stories today are about how small towns are reopening as safely as possible. And this turns out to involve lots of creativity and adaptation and technology. From reading the local papers, I see lots about sports. All of the small schools have enough in-person classes proportionately to be able to follow the governor's guidelines for having sports. Paul, I knew you'd be able to tell us what is different about sports events this year with social distancing.
Well, of course, I did baseball, PA, for the high school team at Roland Story. And I noticed during the baseball season that, of course, it's outdoors. That's an advantage. At that time of the year, there was sort of a paucity of masked people. You know, most people weren't masked. They weren't doing some distancing. But I've noticed since football began that almost everyone's masked now because they realize we're in a different environment, especially in Story County where we have a high degree of the virus. So people are behaving themselves, and it's hopeful we'll get through the football season without any real complications. So far, so good.
Well, it's great to have you in person with your knowledge of the schools. The only way I can tell what's going on is to look at the websites. Which are the main way the superintendents can get health messages out to students and parents? This includes things like instructions for where to sit on the bus and even what entrances to use to limit crowding in the halls. Paul, tell us about how parents can find out if school has been canceled. That used to happen just for snow days.
Well, yeah, that was a situation we all grew up with, watching TV to see when our school was named as being out for a snow holiday. Now, no matter whether it's a snow holiday or any announcements like you mentioned about COVID-19 or any special arrangements at school or any emergencies, the school people can get on the website and notify everybody instantly of what instruction they need to make and what kind of information they need to get out. So this is a wonderful age of technology, and there are probably some people out there who don't have internet access who are regrettably still watching the TV screen to see if their school is out, you know. So some people might be bypassed by the technology, but I think in Roland Story School District and in many of the Central Iowa school districts, most people have access to internet and are on the chain of communication for the school. So these are great times for the people to communicate instantly to the parents and students about what's going on and what they need to know right now. That's great.
One of the things that surprised me was when they did have to go on to digital or hybrid, that anybody who didn't have a computer at home was issued a Chromebook. And so this is just amazing. But one of the things that impressed me was how much use there was of video. At Roland Story, they have a little video of teachers welcoming students and talking to them about masks and face coverings. Now, this is not available television set. I have the sound from something like that, and I thought it was worth playing to show how they're demonstrating constructive attitudes.
It's been so long since I've seen the students, and so I'm excited for them to get back into the classroom. I'm excited to be teaching and working with them again and sharing everything that we do in the classroom. It's going to be absolutely great.
I want to make sure that I'm doing my part to keep all my kids safe. So I have bought face shields for all of the kids in my classroom. So they can choose to wear a mask or they can choose to wear a face shield. I think kids like to have a choice, and if we can do whatever we can do to make them feel comfortable at school so that they'll learn, that's what I want to do this year.
We're definitely going to be cleaning desks. We've got hand sanitizers ready. There will be times that students will need masks in the classroom, but of course there will be times that they don't need masks in the classroom as well.
We try to teach our students about perseverance and the adaptability every year, no matter what the year looks like, and this is really no different. We're gonna persevere through this. We're gonna get through this together. We're gonna make it the best year that we possibly can and the safest year that we can for the students.
My three words I'm gonna live by this year are be kind, be patient, and have grace.
And what really blew me away was the live videos of the games that are on the Facebook pages. Paul, you told me that's common for all the schools, but Roland Story actually has the Norseman Network, directed by Paul Clark, and he's here with us in the Zoom room. Paul, maybe you could introduce him.
Yeah, Paul Clark runs the Norseman Network, and we're all grateful for that because it gives the opportunity for people at home to follow the games. And Paul's pretty thorough in his coverage, and he appears there just like Jim Zobel in the old broadcast days, but you access it in a different way. So, Paul, tell us about the Norseman Network and how you do your work.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's good to talk with you guys. I mean, basically, Norseman Network came about 2008 was when we started it, a very primitive platform compared to what we're doing now. But I had been in town a few years and had a radio background and just kind of saw a need. I know some Roland Story games had been broadcast in years past on Webster City radio station. I think an AIM station had done some games, but it was kind of here and there. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if somebody really committed to doing as many Roland Story games as they could? So I happened to know a guy who was doing something similar down in Southwest Iowa and talked to him, and we got it set up and got it rolling. So because I'm an old radio guy, I certainly am. Radio always has kind of first position in my heart. But as you mentioned, video is really becoming so easy now, relatively speaking, that a lot of high school games are live streamed on video. The Roland Story School District has just, in fact, launched a new video service for its home games, and I'm working in cooperation now with the school district where they will have their video service, and the audio from Norseman Network is going to be patched into their video. So we did it Friday night for the football game, and everything seemed to work okay. So it's a situation where I don't have to invest in all of the video equipment myself, and the school district doesn't have to find play-by-play announcers for every broadcast that they do. So it should be a good teamwork and a good cooperative effort.
Yeah, well, in the end zone at most high school games now, you see a tall tower. It's just a rod that extends several feet high. And I assume that's the video camera that does the video coverage of the football games, right, Paul?
Well, that camera, Paul, I believe, is actually for scouting purposes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's a game film. As long as there's been motion pictures, coaches exchange game films during the week. There's protocol, and it's a way to scout your opponent.
Right. The camera view then would be elsewhere.
Again, talk about fascinating technology. The camera that they're using, if you go to a high school football game now, it's mounted up on top and at the front of the press box. And then in the gymnasium, they've mounted a camera up on the rafters, again, pretty close to half court. And somehow this camera technology now is able to remotely follow the action. So the camera can sense what it's seeing and can follow the action of the game. There's no person actually running the camera.
And cameramen are obsolete now. That's
right.
That's amazing technology. I didn't know. You're educating me today, Paul. I didn't know that.
It's probably just a matter of time until announcers are obsolete. So I'm hoping that I age out before that happens so I can be on my terms.
Yeah, who knows what will happen to all of us oldies, you know. Well, now, the Norseman Network, I hope that's supported financially for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not making a ton of money, and I never will, but certainly the goal is not to lose money doing this. I have some years, I think, but I sell sponsorships. I talk to local businesses and just ask them to advertise on our broadcasts. We also have a platform now, something I've just started doing here in the last year or so, where individuals can basically become sponsors as well. So I'm not doing it to make a living. But on the other hand, I'm also not doing it to lose money either. So we try to come out at least on the positive side by the end of the year. You know, we don't have any spring sports here that really lend themselves to play-by-play. You can't really do play-by-play for golf. We did try to do it a few years ago, and we did it for a couple years for track meets. But, you know, honestly, it just wasn't that good. And so we went away from that. So maybe again, maybe with the video as an option, maybe track meets will be something that we can cover better in the spring. So we really just have a revenue stream during the fall, winter, and summer. We only run the meter, as I say, during the weeks where we're broadcasting games. It's, you know, again, we're just trying to come out on the plus side of zero by the end of the year.
Oh, that's great. So you do football, basketball, and baseball then, right?
The girl sports too. You got volleyball and softball. And then, of course, in the winter, we have three sports going on because we have wrestling. And so we also do wrestling coverage. And I certainly have to mention that Jim Kenyon, who was the longtime head coach for Rolling Story Wrestling, and Rod Bonner, who was his longtime assistant coach, they do the announcing for most of our wrestling coverage. So those guys, as the old saying goes, they've forgotten more about wrestling than I've ever known. And so I hand over the headsets to them. I go to the games and just sort of act as a producer and make sure the commercials get played and the ads get read. But otherwise, I let those guys do all the wrestling talk.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, to what extent do you travel with the Norseman?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, we'll be going to Forest City this coming Friday night. Certainly for football, we're going to do every game, home and away. It's pretty true for basketball, pretty true for volleyball. You know, baseball and softball. Baseball, for example, played a game down in Lenox this past summer, which is two and a half hours away. It was on a weekday, so we didn't make that trip. So that's an example of a game that we're not going to go do. But for the most part, you know, we're going to go and get to as many road games as possible. And those actually have extra value because those are games where our listenership goes up because not as many fans are going to go to a road game, which is sort of naturally speaking, you know. So we like to do road games. Of course, there's that expense. There's that travel expense that you have to incur on that. But we try to get to as many as we can.
No, the wonderful thing is that you have people able to access that at home. And I'm thinking of grandparents who have a lot of difficulty with mobility and being able to travel. And here they are able to follow their grandson or granddaughter as they do their athletic magic for Rolling Story. So that's really a service that's hard to measure because it's so impactful. And, you know, I'm from the old broadcast days when the only thing available was broadcast, and not many high schools really had a mom-and-pop radio station that could do that. So this is a modern age we live in and a marvelous time when everyone can access something as long as someone like you exists to make sure that it happens. And as you say, it's not a big money maker, but it's something you do not only to cover expenses you have that come for that, but I honor you for your ability and your willingness and your interest in making sure that this service exists. So, Paul, I commend you and the Norseman Network. Wonderful work you do.
Appreciate you saying that a lot. And really, that was when we started. The whole idea was since we don't have a radio station, we don't have a transmitter, we don't have a tower, the internet has provided us the chance to do what I call the next best thing. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Thanks to both of you. This has really been amazing. Another learning experience for not just for me, but I hope for all of our listeners who aren't already watching the Norseman Network. We have a piece of music that was written for the 50th anniversary of Roland's story, and we're going to play that now.
In case you've just tuned in, we've been visiting Roland Story Schools as they enter this challenging 2021 school year, which is also the 50th anniversary of the Roland Story Community School District. You just heard the soundtrack from the music video celebrating that anniversary. Featured in the video are Roland Story alumni Ethan Beck from 2018, Addison Pop from 2020, Laura Scar from 1999, Megan McGigan from 2020, and Matthew Mertens from 2020. The rest of the program will take us to various theaters to learn about the challenges of social distancing in the entertainment area. We'll start our journey with the Boone Theater, which is one of the few movie theaters that made the expensive conversion to digital cameras that are needed to play the first run movies. Our guest is the owner, Aaron Rovey. Welcome, Aaron. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting the kids ready for my older son to go to school. He has to go to school by 8 o'clock.
Wow. Is that online or actual school?
He's actually in school. Boone is fully in school, but we did have the option to do online as well.
Oh, wow. So how did you get in the theater industry?
Well, my parents bought the Boone Theater back in July of 2013, and they opened up in September the same year. So we're coming up on our seven-year anniversary here on the 20th. I volunteered there when they opened and helped them out when they needed it back then. And then in 2017, they made the decision that they wanted to retire and asked me if they would like to sell to me, and so they did.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. How did they decide to buy the theater? Was it always an interest, or
Yes and no. They had been looking for something to do about the same time Imperial Lanes, which was the local bowling alley, was also up for sale. They were actually more interested in buying that, but made the decision instead to buy the movie theater.
And are they glad they did?
Yes, I am as well.
Well, that's good. That's good. How has the attendance been over the years? Is it kind of slowly increasing? I know it's challenging for some of the smaller towns.
It kind of varies with the movie. We have 164 seats in our theater. And the last time we had a sellout show, unfortunately, wasn't back in 2017 with Beauty and the Beast. But we have come close to sellout shows with Avengers and Star Wars and some of those bigger movies. But since COVID hit, our numbers, we had to close down March 17th. And then for movies, we did stay open for a little while doing popcorn sales. And then we opened up in July and did a few classic movies and then closed down for another 3 weeks since we didn't have anything booked. And then we opened back up August 21st with some more classic movies. We're now about to start week 4 of the classic movies.
When you say classic movies, what are some of those?
So back in July, we showed Inside Out, which came out in 2015. Then we showed Beauty and the Beast, which, like I mentioned, was our last sellout show. And then we showed Greatest Showman, which also came out in 2017. And then August 21st, when we reopened back up, we showed Notebook. The following week was Neverending Story. Last weekend was Space Jam. This weekend is Beetlejuice. Next week will be Wizard of Oz. And then we'll round it out with The Goonies.
Oh, wow. Now, do you just have them in the evenings or just on weekends or... All week?
Right now, we're just open on the weekends. Friday, we have a 7 o'clock show. Saturday, we have shows at 2 and 7 o'clock. And then Sunday, we just have our 2 o'clock matinee.
So do you think you're going to continue with the classics for a while? Or
we're really hoping, as of right now, Wonder Woman, I don't want to jinx myself here, but Wonder Woman 1984 is supposed to release on October 2nd. And our classic movies will take us right into that, hoping it will stay put.
What differences are you having to do for the COVID virus?
One of the major differences we are doing is we have very limited seating due to the 6-foot social distancing. We are asking people to choose their seats when they come in, which is something we've never had to do before. And then we block off 3 seats on either side of them, and then a row in front and a row behind, just to enforce the 6-foot social distancing. And then we are doing a lot more cleaning. And then we're asking all staff to wear masks, and we are highly encouraging guests to wear masks as well.
Oh, that's great. And do you ever rent out in the non-COVID time periods, rent out the theater for gatherings, of special events for a movie or something?
Yes.
Like that?
We have rented out the theater before. We've done birthday parties. We've done customer appreciation events. We've hosted holiday parties for businesses, different things like that. We have done school events as well. We've done business presentations. So yes, we have hosted rentals in the past as well.
Well, that's exciting. Well, I'm sure glad you're able to be open and getting some classic movies going. And so it's 7 o'clock on Friday and 2 and 7 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And
thank you for having me.
See you over in the theater.
Sounds great. We've got Beetlejuice this weekend, and then Wizard of Oz, I'm hoping, is going to be a big hit. And then rounding out with The Goonies on September 25th. I had to think of the date.
Well, that's exciting. I might just have to go over there and see The Wizard of Oz. It's been a couple years.
All right. We'll hope to see you then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
This is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and June McAndrews has been speaking with Erin Roby, owner of the Boone Theater, about how her business is surviving with social distancing and fewer customers than I'll just mention, we were going to go to Story City, to the Story City Opera House, and talk to Todd Thorson, but he couldn't talk to us today because he's keeping his theater alive by taking a second job in the post office. And so that's one way of keeping your theater going. But our next guest, Larry Stone, owner of the Talent Factory over in Nevada, has a totally different situation. He turned the Vintage Camelot into a venue for live performances several years ago, which could only be profitable if they could attract large audiences. Larry, thank you for being with us today to tell us about how you're getting along at the Talent Factory.
We have a little different take from Aaron, but we're in the same boat as every other entertainment business in the country. I play poker online with a lot of entertainers from Las Vegas. We have a group. And yeah, everybody's in the same boat. I'm seeing headliners in Las Vegas taking jobs driving Uber or working odd jobs and stuff just so they can get through until they can get back on the stage again. The big ones, Lance Burton is a friend of ours. Lance really doesn't have to worry about that, but all of his support acts do. Feeling West, Michael Godot, Larry Dunbar, all the people that tour with Feeling. So, as you mentioned, we do do things a little different. We bought the theater in 2012 and decided to take it back to its original roots of live entertainment. So we bring in live bands, all sorts of entertainment genre. We've got hypnotists, we've got illusionists, we've got musicians, a little bit of everything. And we've had to cope, obviously, with COVID like everybody else. In our case, our last show was March 6th before we took a six-month sabbatical for COVID. And when we did get opened back up, we do have the same limitations as Aaron did in the Boone Theater, and that is that we are basically 50% of our capacity. We seat 400, over 400, so that automatically reduces our capacity to a little over 200. At the same time, we have to social distance, so like Aaron, it's every other row, so that cuts us back as far as crowd size, and then we social distance obviously on both sides of the individuals. One difference is if people are socially distanced in the theater, we don't require masks. So if people have seats on either side of them, two seats on either side, and a row between them and the closest neighbor, we don't request that they, well, we ask that they wear face masks, but we don't require it. So we've gotten through in reopening by going back to classic movies. We don't do first run movies, but we do classic movies, and we only put on one show a week. So it's usually on a Friday or a Saturday night. So that keeps our operating expenses down as well.
One of the things that I noticed with Aaron that she didn't mention was they have half price on their movies. And you had a kind of an interesting way to do that. Could you tell us about it?
Well, we decided not to charge for movies, because we do show old classic movies. And although our concession stand is open, there's no charge for the movies. Our goal wasn't so much to make money, as which would be nice, by the way, but that wasn't our main goal. Our goal was to stay open for the community and give the community things to do. So our next show this coming Friday is State Fair, the 1939 version of it. And that is basically just to give people an opportunity to get out. I think most people at this point in time are really looking forward to something to do that they can get out and still be considered safe. So we have one pay movie, and that is an independent company called Inyo Entertainment, which is a Native American group. And I've got a history in law enforcement of working with Indian nations. And they approached me and asked, since I've got a theater, would I be willing to show their independent film, Neither Wolf Nor Dog? And it's a great film. If you want to know what it's like, the real life of Native Americans, this is an exceptional. This got a 4.7 rating, I think a 90-plus rating on Rotten Tomatoes in the independent category. So it's been one of the most successful independent films around. But there is a charge for that film, and it does go back to the nations.
Wow.
This is Paul Wearson. Larry, I'm co-hosting today, too. And I'm checking my memory here, but I think you once booked Louis Anderson at the theater, didn't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, we've had some of the greatest in the entertainment world come in. Louis Anderson was here, I think he was 2014, fairly young. And Louis is coming back next year. He'll be touring in the area with his other group. And Louis has mentioned that he'd like to come back. We're also bringing back Billy Dean, if you're into country. A lot of our groups, Paul, thanks for mentioning that. We bring a lot of acts up from Branson. I would say the largest majority of our entertainers we bring from Branson, from Las Vegas. We've had five of the original Beach Boys on the stage, members of the Platters, the Drifters, the Four Tops. So we've had, you know, an outstanding lineup of high-end artists and some of the top tribute groups in the world, actually, but also in the country.
I really hope you're getting the publicity out, because there are a lot of people in Des Moines who'd like to see some of these classic acts and musicians from a time when they were growing up and everything. You know, you mentioned the Platters, and these are things that would attract an audience far and wide away from Nevada, really.
You're exactly right. And quite frankly, that's one of the reasons we started bringing in that level of talent. When Louis was here, there were people that came from St. Louis and Kansas City. Keith Harkin, who was the lead singer for Celtic Thunder. Keith has been here three or four times, and he brought people from Wisconsin. They drove 8 hours to be able to come see Keith in our theater, because we were the only place in Iowa that Keith was coming at that time.
That's fabulous, and it's sort of little known that this is happening. It's a fantastic idea, and what a use for the Camelot Theater. It's just tremendous, and I think that you've been very creative at booking talent like that, and also, like everybody else we've talked to, you've been creative in dealing with COVID-19, too, so I credit you with that, Larry.
Well, thank you very much. We're just trying to get through like everybody else until we can get back to some semblance of normalcy. We love the acts, and we've been very, very fortunate to bring in the level of acts that we have. We're trying to get through. We bought a new large venue projector, which gives us an incredible quality of backgrounds and now movies. And so when we have blank areas that we don't have an artist coming in, we'll show a movie just to give the public something to do and try to stay in the public's eye.
Well, it's just fabulous that you're showing State Fair. I think that's Dick Hames, and that's vintage people in that film.
It is. It's a great film, and of course it's about Iowa and the Iowa State Fair, so it's so apropos.
Oh yeah, and I think that one marvelous thing about technology today is that these classic films are available because we're not shipping out canisters of film anymore, you know. So I'm sure there's an availability of films that's unknown in the past, that you can get all these great classics, like the Boone Theater is playing Wizard of Oz. And you know, one little known thing about Wizard of Oz, they almost cut Over the Rainbow out of the show. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You never know what's going to end up on the cutting room floor in Hollywood. They almost cut Over the Rainbow from the show.
That's
talk about dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm an old movie buff, and so I really value the availability of films, given the technology we have today, of all the great movies that a lot of people would love to see on the big screen again. And, you know, I'm being a film buff, I really feel that a movie theater, not only to show the film on a large surface, but also the thing you experience watching a movie with an audience is sometimes lost today when people are viewing on Netflix and things like that. So we need to get back in touch with being part of an audience again.
That's very true. We connect as people, as humans. Our connection is to other people. And having right. having those people near you, and I think that's so very important. They say that the best thing you can do to feel normal is to do normal things. And that's a great help for depression and for people that feel isolated, is to get out and do normal things and make themselves feel normal again. Even if they have to make some adaptions to that.
No, I agree, and I think that giving the opportunity to do that, Larry, is very valuable. That's why I'm glad you're doing it. And I think that your mix of live performance and film, it really gives a nice choice in one venue. I really commend you for that.
Thank you very much, Paul. We appreciate it.
You're doing good work, Larry.
Thank you.
And for folks who might be listening and aren't sure where your shows are, do you want to remind them where your theater is?
We are in the thriving metropolis of Nevada, Iowa. We're 8 miles east of Ames. And actually, through the summer, we have not only had to deal with COVID, but Nevada made the decision to tear up their main street where we're on and make it inaccessible to traffic, 3 blocks of it. So we've been dealing with that. Even the things we have tried to do has been difficult to get to us. So it's been a challenge.
Well, Larry, how's that project coming? Are they driving on Main Street again yet?
Not yet, but they're much closer. Our side of the street, we got our sidewalks in. They finished the street itself, and our sidewalks are now in, but they're putting cobblestone in part of those sidewalks towards the curbside. So they're pouring the brick pans for the cobblestone, hopefully this week if the rain will let them. And then there's only one more side of the street, the east side of the street on our block, that still needs to be the sidewalks poured and ready for the brick pans.
So during the summer you had to wear a mask and a hard hat in construction zone, right?
Yes, and our audience is like 40-plus in general, our demographic. So, unfortunately, it's made people have to walk a lot further, and that discourages it also.
Life would not be fun without a challenge, right, Larry?
I agree.
Maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who now drew you. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not someone who has seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
For our music break, we just played Hallelujah, a Leonard Cohen song performed by Keith Harkin of Celtic Thunder, one of the performers who's been live at the Talent Factory. This is KHOI Community Radio, and your hosts for today have been Gina McAndrews, Susan Franzen, and our guest co-host, Paul Wilson. We've been exploring the ways a school and a couple of theaters are adapting to the requirements for opening safely. Our last guest, Actors President Stan Raby. will be telling us the very unusual Actors Community Theater story about their production that's going to present their next show. San Raby is here to tell us about the Savannah Sipping Society. Hi, San. You got that started online with something called the Savannah Sipper Contest. I know I was trying to call you at the time, and I realized, oh my gosh, he's busy with the contest. Could you tell what the Savannah Sipper Contest was?
Yes. This show is all about four women who enjoy getting together for some antics, fun, reclaiming their lives, and a few drinks along the way. And since there's all about libations in the show, we decided it would be fun to have a show drink for it. And we were going to design one, and then we thought it might be even more fun to let the community get involved as well. So we had a contest where we invited people to come in and show us their bartending capabilities. And so people came in. We had seven contestants come in, and we picked a winner. It's a wonderful blackberry, blueberry, lemon mixture with ginger ale on the top. It's very refreshing, and it'll be perfect for the show. And because we selected the drink, Stevens Auditorium is going to offer it from their beverage stands at the show.
Well, now, that's another big part of the story. I've been lost in lots of actors' shows, and we were in the first Presidium Theater they had out in the Actors' Building, which was originally just rehearsal space. And it's actually not at all adequate for trying to do social distance. But you somehow got a collaboration with C.Y. Stevens. So tell us about that.
Yes, after we announced our season, and we made it pretty clear that if at all possible, Actors was going to go forward with a season, because we had decided early on that it was better for us to do a show and probably lose money than it was for us to be dark, because community theater is all about getting people together, even at a social distance. And at Actors, we can only seat about 40 people socially distanced. So after we announced and we set out our brochures, Tammy Kulbeck from Stevens Auditorium called me and said to ask if she thought we would ever consider moving into Stevens for our shows. And we pursued it. They have been amazing to work with. That we're doing a lot of, it's going to cost us a lot more to do the show at Stevens. On the other hand, instead of 40 people, we figure we can seat close to 250 people. Now, if you figure you can seat 250 people on a seat on a house floor that normally seats 1,471, you can see that people are going to be socially distanced. There's a lot of space between each attending group of guests at the show. But they've been fabulous to work with, because we've been in there several times. There's been lots of communications. Every time we've needed help with how something works or how we should do it, Mike Rioch and Tammy have been there for us. Craig Spillman from their food service area and guest services area has been terrific. So everything, I think, so far has worked beautifully.
Well, what is unusual about this show? You mentioned that you have the four women who get together for conversation. But of course, you've got to be concerned about what happens if somebody gets sick.
We knew we could go on. When we cast the show, first of all, we had a lot of very good women audition. And the cast has only four speaking roles in it. And since we had so many excellent women audition, we were given the opportunity to double cast the show. So we have one cast. We kind of have hung the name on them, the Magnolia cast. They do the show on Thursday night and Sunday matinee. And then the Jasmine cast is doing the show on Friday night and Saturday night. And the reason, besides having a number of really good women, more good women than we could cast if we just had one cast, to do it that way is with the pandemic going on and knowing that people's lives are outside the theater and there's more going on than what's in the theater. If anybody got sick or got infected, we knew we had to have a backup. And so the double casting allowed us to know that we could always move forward. And we have been incredibly fortunate, and our cast has been, both casts have been amazingly diligent in quarantining themselves and staying safe, because no one has gotten sick at all. No one's become infected. We haven't had any issues out in the building at all with COVID. So we're in very good shape in terms of going forward next week with tech rehearsals in the show and a couple of healthy casts.
Well, I first became aware of this play. Normally on Wednesdays, we don't do actors. We don't do Ames Theater because we go to the Ankeny, Boone, or Webster City. But you had an article, which I think you wrote, that appeared in at least two of the small papers about an actress from Roland. And then when I talked to you, I learned that the casts are, a lot of them, teachers. They're from, could you just run through those cast members and where they're from and what they're doing?
Sure. First of all, the ladies who play Randa, we'll start with the Jasmine. Barbara Gerlach is a designer. She lives in Nevada. Alongside her are Jen Peter. Jen Peter is a area education agency consultant, and she lives in Boone. And then in the Magnolia cast, we have Kay Mueller, who also lives in Boone, and she teaches at Des Moines Area Community College. And Nicole Galliard lives in Roland and teaches in Nevada, and she's in the Magnolia cast. In addition to that, we have some non-speaking roles, and one of the non-speaking role people, Jana Egan, lives in Boone, and our director is from Des Moines, Dumas Wines. And so we've got and my co-producer for this show, Mark Peter, is also from Boone. So we've got a pretty good representation from people. Oh, and Tammy, Tammy Sposito is from Collins. And so we've got a good representation of the eight speaking cast members. Five of them are not from the city of Ames. And it has been delightful to watch them get to know each other, because they didn't before this, and how closely bonded they have come. It almost follows the story of the show in terms of women who have not met each other before all becoming very close friends.
All because of the amazing drink that you have concocted.
Oh, yeah, we like to think it's all because of that drink, or other drinks, or lots of other drinks. So, yeah, it's great fun. And I tell you, the casts have had a wonderful time. The ladies in the show, the characters, they're just so much fun. And the audience will just laugh and have a great time. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to get out safely, because everyone can stay more than 6 feet apart. We've been looking at the seating charts, and it's like a scattering of people in the audience around. So people aren't going to be sitting close to anyone. And when you come and go, we're opening the house right away at 6:30, so that you don't congregate at doors. You can go directly into the house. You can stay, you can stay apart from everyone. And we're asking everyone to wear masks so that they stay safe. So we think we have capitalized on the best way to do a show during a pandemic.
Do you want to remind everybody when the show is taking place again?
Yes. The Savannah Sipping Society opens Thursday, September 17th, so a week from tomorrow, and it runs for four performances, 17th, 18th, 19th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 p.m. And they're all the performances are in the glorious Stevens Auditorium. We're going full. We've got Silver Code there to greet you when you come in so that you get the full effect of having a show at Stevens Auditorium.
That's awesome. And you can get the blueberry, blackberry, lemon drink.
Yes, you can get a Savannah sipper before you go into the audience or go to your seats in the house. Yes.
Well, that sounds like a fun evening.
Well, and I tell you, it's a good opportunity for the community to come out and support the arts, support Stevens, support actors. Without their support, who knows what's going to happen in the future? And it's a good way of having a good time and being safe.
That's terrific. Thank you for organizing this.
It's been a very interesting experience and challenge because, as you might guess, the house is very different between actors and Stevens. The stage is very different. We can't do anything with lights until we move in because hanging lights at actors doesn't help us any with doing lights at Stevens because they don't move. So much of what we're doing, it's just different. We built the set. It's like a giant three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle because it gets taken apart tomorrow, disassembled, loaded into a truck, and then reassembled on Stevens' stage on Friday. And so that's got challenges all by itself, the need to be able to figure out how it comes apart and then making sure that all the pieces go back together in the same way a day later. And then being able to take it apart after the show run is over and be able to get it back to actors in the same day. So there are lots of challenges in doing a show like this.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about it, Stan. We've been talking with Stan Raby, who was the president of Actors, telling us about their amazing show at C.Y. Stevens, the Savannah Sipping Society, which opens on the...
a week from tomorrow, the 17th. Get your tickets now, please.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts for today, Gina McAndrews and Susan Franzen. Other voices you heard were Paul Wearson, Paul Clark, Aaron Roby, Larry Sloan, and Stan Raby.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. today. At noon, the Ames Public Library will present Reading Radio. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Roland's story, We Believe, written and produced by Diana Weishar and Philip Young, from the music video produced by Sonic Factory Studios in Des Moines, and Alleluia by Leonard Cohen, performed by Keith Harkin of Celtic Thunder.
Local Talk is a radio production training program as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, please contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just hit the yellow Donate Become a Member button. If you enjoyed the show, please tell all your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contribution are what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.